Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem, that's Jesus, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And then the postscript that the physician Luke talks about right here, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed, but there, where are the other 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto this man, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. I want to preach for just a few moments on the subject, hashtag thanks. Turn to your neighbor and tell him thank you. I hope that's not the first time you've said that phrase this week. You need to say it often, liberally, to God, to people. We need to be a thankful generation. You may be seated. The last 2 weeks, we've been talking about this very subject to our youth and young adults, creating a culture of thanks and thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is just 4 days away. How many of you love Thanksgiving? I love Thanksgiving. It's one of the few days that you can eat like a pig and not feel bad. You just wear your stretchy pants, gentlemen, your jogging pants. Ladies, you break the maternity pants back out, and they become your maturkey pants. How many of you like traditional oven turkey? How many of you like smoked turkey? How many of you are like me? Anything deep fried, a deep fried turkey. Yeah, yeah, yeah. How many of you like cornbread stuffing? How about green bean casserole? Deviled eggs? I heard somebody yell out collard greens. Pumpkin pie? Oh, whoa, everybody kind of fell off there. Is it sweet potato pie with y'all? Everybody that just shouted, I want to do a taste test because I want to know if you can really taste the difference. By that time, once you put a bunch of Cool Whip on it, I don't care what kind of pie it is, I'm going to eat it. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, Paul writes this, in everything, give thanks. Then he goes on to say something that would be diametrically opposed to most culture in our generation and the way that we live today. He says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Now there are many verses preceding verse 18 here in 1 Thessalonians 5, but Paul gives us insight into the language of God and what God responds to. And real believers of faith, and I love what Bishop was just talking about, the abstract and reality of faith, and that faith brings what is in the air and brings it concrete, brings the reality of it. Real faith-filled believers can give thanks at any season of their life because we can give thanks for what God has done, we can give thanks for what God is doing and what He's promised to do. But if you're like Paul, you can even give thanks when you've got a thorn in your flesh because you can say, in my weakness, God is made strong. You can praise God like Joseph did in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, when he said, what you meant for me was evil, but my God turned it around for my benefit. You can be like Paul when he wrote to the Romans and said, every good thing, come on, all things work together for the good of those like me and you that love God and are called according to his purpose. In everything, the good, the bad, the ugly. I think we need to make, and it's one reason why I just threw that hashtag symbol in front of thanks for this message title, because hashtags are used to make things go viral. When things go viral, it goes from 10 or 20 people seeing it on social media to perhaps 10 or 20 million people seeing it on social media. And most of the time, things go viral when they are crazy. Things go viral when somebody maybe gets hurt, when somebody's doing something that they should not do. But I think that we need to make praise viral in our life. That we ought to live a life of thanksgiving beyond November, beyond the table on the fourth Thursday of November. That we ought to live life no matter what we're going through. You can still roll out of your bed and say, God, I thank you for still being God. God, I thank you that you're in control of my situation. And we are sharing a story this morning that is an incredible account in the Word of God. And let's go back to the original text, Luke 17, verse 11. And it came to pass, as Jesus went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Bible history tells us that every time Jesus went to Samaria, it was out of his way. That excites me. Because it even means that when I'm not where I'm supposed to be, that God will go out of his way to come and find me. We ought to thank God this morning that when we were messed up, when we were in the miry clay, when we were stuck up in the trap house, yep, I said trap house on a Sunday morning, when we were down on Skid Row, when we were doing things we shouldn't do, that God found us in our leprosy, whether it's physical or spiritual, that he went out of our way. And I'm sure just as with the Samaritan woman, and now we're meeting a Samaritan man, that the disciples said, why are we going this way? And God said, because there is a praiser in Samaria that needs me to show up. Can I just preach to somebody today that the next time you need God to show up, it's not going to be in November around a family Thanksgiving table, but your thanksgiving and your praise to God works just as good in March as it does in November. It works just as good on Tuesday afternoon at your job as it does on Sunday morning at church. I'm thankful that my praise brings God out of his way to invade and inhabit my situation. Leprosy is a tough deal. Leprosy is not uncommon in our world today. Leprosy is still something that is happening around the world. And as I studied leprosy, I found a lot of things that were very interesting about leprosy. Those affected with leprosy might not show symptoms for 5 to 20 years after they've been exposed. It's almost like that scary commercial on TV that says, if you had chicken pox, the shingles virus has been living in you. They're trying to scare you to go buy a bunch of drugs you don't need. If you feel bad, you better pray about it. And if you don't get better, go see a doctor. But don't let the TV commercial scare you. Sometimes their side effects are worse than the thing that you're trying to treat. And so for 5 to 20 years, some of these men, maybe even perhaps these 10 men, had lived their life not knowing that they had been exposed to something that was in their body that was eventually going to come from the inside to the outside. Can I encourage you? We tell our kids this all the time because we're Holy Ghost-filled, discerning parents. What is done in darkness will eventually come to light. And so one of the reasons that the Apostle Paul tells us to give thanks in all things is because praise is the best preventative medicine that we can have in our lives. That's why when I praise today and when you praise today, can I encourage you? It's not just for what God has done, but I praise because I want God to continue to do what he's always done in my life. If God inhabits the praises of people, like Psalm 22 says, then I want to be a praiser on Monday, Tuesday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I want to be a praiser December through October. I'm here to tell you that the devil will try to do things in you. And if you don't praise God, those bacteria give a place to grow and to mature. But when you praise God, it takes everything that the enemy has tried to do against you, and it brings it to naught. Sometimes your hallelujah isn't for what God has done. Your hallelujah is to get the devil back out of your life. Sometimes when you spin and you lift your hands to God, it's not for what he's brought you from or through. It's for what the devil's trying to do to you now. But when you praise God, all of heaven snaps to attention. When you praise God, Jesus steps out of heaven and inhabits your. When you praise God, Jesus steps in and the devil steps out. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, my praise is preventative. Leprosy occurs more commonly in those that are living in poverty. And it is an environment issue because they do not have the resources to take care of the environment. Their environment incubates and grows and further exacerbates the cycle of the growth of those things that are not supposed to be. But I'm here to tell you that when you praise God, you change your environment. That your environment does not have a hold on you. That your environment doesn't dictate to you how you can live, but you dictate to your environment. When I praise God, Jesus steps down in Brandon's life. And I might have been born one way, but thanks be to God. When God stepped into my life, everything changed in my life. Your environment can change when you praise God. Your physical environment can change. Your spiritual environment can change. All you need is a praise. The greatest effect of leprosy is the damaging of your nerves, which results in crippling of hands and feet, partial and total paralysis, and blindness. The nerve damage causes a lack of ability to feel pain. So when we hear these things preached about there being no ears and no nose and people's fingers and their toes and their feet and hands being eaten off, it's not because they were just rotting off. It was because they injured themselves, but their nerves had been damaged in such a way they could not tell they had been injured. And it affects their way, or it affects the ability for cells to be regenerated and for the healing process to go. And so instead of cells being regenerated, the cells that have been injured continue to degenerate. And then things happen, and ears start falling off and nose it, and no one even knows. And they look down and they see that there is a sore, and sometimes it's in a place where they can't see on their back, and it's their families that have to say it's leprosy. And when families say it's leprosy, they know that they are about to have their loved one ripped from their life. The nerve damage causes them to repeat those injuries over and over because they are unnoticed and they cannot tell. Leprosy causes weakness. Leprosy causes poor eyesight. We would say that the way we preach, a lack of vision. Leprosy cannot stay where praise is. These men had been robbed of their praise. There are still 200 cases, not a lot, but 200 cases of leprosy in the U.S. every year. Most of those leprosy cases, believe it or not, are the contaminated species is armadillos. Armadillos carry leprosy. 200 people are out picking up armadillos or eating them. I don't know what they're doing, but they're getting leprosy. And can you believe that here we are in 2018 with all that we have, all the modern amazing things in sciences, and there's still leper colonies? India has them, China has them, Africa has them. Leprosy is such a terrible, terrible disease. But the physical ramifications for these 10 men was not the worst. It was the emotional ramifications. It was the spiritual ramifications. When they were found out to be lepers, they were kicked out of society. They were ostracized. They had to leave their wives, their husbands. They had to leave their children. Children had to leave their parents, all because of a disease called leprosy. Not only were they kicked out of the cities, but they had to stand many times hundreds of feet and paces off of the beaten path. And everywhere they go, they would have to say, unclean. We're lepers. Don't get near us. Because a cough or a rubbing of the skin made it contagious. Jesus shows up in Samaria out of his way, but Jesus knew right where he was going. Jesus was a magnet, magnetized, drawing Jesus to the praiser. Can I encourage you, no matter how bad your life gets, Jesus is still drawn to your praise. No matter how dark it is today, Jesus is still drawn to your praise. No matter how good it is, you might be on top of cloud nine, on top of the greatest mountain of your life, but God is still looking for praise. He still cannot resist praise. He will still drop everything to come and inhabit praise. Leviticus tells us of some of the rules and regulations regarding leprosy. When you look at these lepers in Leviticus chapter 13, verse 44, he that is a leprous man, he is unclean. The priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean. His plague is in his head, and the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, his head bare. He shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall be his inhabitation be. The devil knows if he can steal your praise, he can steal God's presence. See, the greatest, and I've never heard anyone say this, the greatest travesty of leprosy is not that you were torn from your family, not that you were ostracized from society. The greatest travesty of leprosy is that they would not let you in the temple. Because for Jews, church was church. It wasn't like it is today where I can roll over in my underwear and turn livingwaychurch.net on. I'm talking to you watching right now. Get here at 11. It's not like it is now where we put volleyball and track and soccer and basketball over the house of God. It's not like it is now where we'll take a third shift so that we can buy Christmas presents to celebrate Jesus' birthday, but that third shift causes us to not be in church for November and December, and we say it's all for gifts so that we can give to our kids and family to celebrate Jesus, which doesn't make sense. But it wasn't like that then. Church was the apex of the week, and these men and these women that contracted leprosy, they were told, not only can you not be with your family, not only can you not stay in the city, you're not allowed in the temple. And these lepers made two mistakes that all of us make at one time or another in our lives. Number one, they allowed somebody to steal their praise. Number two, they thought their praise was relegated to the temple. Your praise cannot be stopped by anybody but you. You cannot be silenced by any demon in hell. You cannot be silenced by Lucifer himself. The only one that can silence you is you. Have you ever been to a prison? They got them locked up in maximum security prisons. But guess what they can still do? They can still catcall. They can still shout obscenities. They can still say whatever they want to say. The devil knows if he can ever get us to shut up, he's got us where he needs us to be. That's why the world, our nation, is in the shape that it's in, is because every voice, every person that feels like they've been slighted,
whatever issue it is, even though they might not have millions of people behind their cause comes together and they get loud about it. Some of those causes are good, some of those causes are bad, but when is the church going to be a praising church again? When are we going to place a supreme value on the house of God and the presence of Jesus Christ? When is the last time that you had a praise break on Monday afternoon? When was the last time where you allowed Jesus to invade your Thursday morning in your office cubicle? God said, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, but he didn't say just on Sundays and just at Living Way. If you've got breath every day, all day, you ought to praise Jesus. You can't steal my praise. You can kick me out of the city, you're not going to steal my praise. You can kick me out of church, you're not going to steal my praise. As good as this team is, I don't need them to praise. As good as this band is, I don't need them to praise. As good as this church and the atmosphere that is created in this place is, the best worship I had was not this morning, this week. The best worship I had was when I was driving down Interstate 10 listening to Tremble, and I was saying, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble, and Jesus invaded that truck. I'm here to tell you, I will not be silenced. You cannot be silenced. Open your mouth and give God a praise, and you'll be surprised where Jesus shows up. Not only had these 10 lepers had their voice stolen, had their praise stolen. See, the enemy would love for you to be silenced, but that's not his end game. His end game is not that you would quit talking. His end game is that you would start saying the wrong things. See, we always talk about the enemy has silenced me. That's not what the enemy wants to do. The enemy doesn't want to just silence you. The enemy wants to get you saying the wrong thing. So these 10 men that used to praise and worship Jesus, who used to praise and worship Jehovah in the synagogue, in the temple, now not only are they not praising, but because their circumstances, their environment has changed, they're not only not praising, they're not remaining silent, but now this is their confession, unclean. The same voice that used to praise Jehovah is now praising what the adversary has done in their life. The same voice that used to say, praise Yahweh, is now saying, unclean, don't get near me. I'm bad for you. I'm dirty. I've been married a few times. I used to have a drug problem. And they are spouting their condition and what they've been through, and they're not praising God, nor are they declaring what they want to see. Goes back to the old adage, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything. If you can't praise, just be quiet. Because the moment you open up your mouth, if you're not going to praise, you're going to start saying the wrong thing. And the wrong thing said will be the wrong thing seen. And when you say the wrong thing, you're going to see the wrong thing, and you're going to perpetuate the cycle of leprosy, and you don't have to stay in that cycle. Your praise can break any cycle, can break any curse that you might live under today. I might have leprosy, but I'm on my way back to where God created me to be. I will go back to my wife. I will hold my children yet again. And oh yes, I will be back in the temple saying, you might have tried to kick me out, but God restored me so that I could come back to the place of my humiliation. Brother Brandon, we see something happening with your ear. We're going to have to ask you to leave Living Way. What is it that the church has gotten to a place where we think everybody needs to be perfect to be here? It's like laughing at an overweight person at the gym. Don't laugh at them. They're doing their best to get better. That's why if you walk in here with a problem, we're not going to humiliate you. We're not going to condemn you. We're not going to point and laugh at you. We're not going to kick you out and ostracize you. We're going to say Living Way is the place for you to be, and you can stay here as long as you need to. But Mr. Leper and Miss Leper, if I can encourage you, don't sit on the third row from the back until you die. Understand that in this house of God, we develop a house of praise. And when you praise God, God inhabits the praises of His people. God doesn't inhabit buildings. He inhabits people. God inhabits people's praise. Whenever you praise God, God shows up. The Bible says that they said, "Have mercy on us." Mercy was a faith issue, not a praise issue. They had faith. They had faith enough in Jehovah, and now they have faith that Jesus is the same God of the Old Testament. They have enough faith that when they see and they hear Jesus is coming, they're standing 100 yards off of the road, and they see Jesus with the 12 disciples and say, we're unclean, but Jesus, if that's you, have mercy on us. It wasn't a praise issue, it was a faith issue. You can have leprosy and go to heaven. I got quiet on me. You can have problems and go to heaven. You can struggle from here to the pearly gates, but that's not God's will. God's will is that you would not be separated from family. God's will is that you would not struggle. God does not want you to pull your hair out or to pull your beard out, in my case, when you don't have enough money to pay your bills. It is not God's will that your children struggle like your peers and your coworkers' children struggle. But I'm here to tell you, if you are willing to struggle all the way to heaven, you can struggle all the way there. It's not a faith issue that we're talking about. We're talking about a praise issue. Everybody in this room today, everybody, and I say this without any uncertainty, everybody in this room had faith to come to this church this morning. You either had faith that you're going to receive something you didn't receive. You have faith enough because of what your mama taught you and your grandmama taught you and your dad and grandfather taught you that you ought to be in church on a Sunday morning. You might be there with your arms folded husband or teenager, and you say, well, I'm not here because of faith. No, you had faith that if you didn't get here, you're going to get a whooping or you're going to sleep on the couch. It's not a faith issue. It's a praise issue. And you say, well, all of them got healed. Yeah, all of them did get healed, but not all of them got whole. And there's a difference between being healed and being whole. Jesus, when they say, have mercy on me, Jesus says this. He says, go now and show yourselves to the priest. We preach it like this. You are healed. Go now and show yourselves to the priest. Jesus said, go and show yourselves to the priest. And I've always said, God, why is the first person that you would send them to not their family, not their children, not their loved ones, but the priest? And it's twofold. The reason he sends them to the priest first is the priest is the one that had to let them back into society, back into church, back into the temple. But he also said, I want you to go showcase my glory. And that the same people that kicked you out now have to let you back in. Can I tell you that the same people that jerked you off the ladder, that you were above them and you fell all the way down, they're going to have to look square in your eye on your way back up. I might have been knocked down, but I ain't knocked out. And every hater, every person that has lied on me, every person that has gossiped on you, every person that has come against you, every person that said you're not the right color, not the right age, not the right gender, God said, go back and show them what I've done. You don't need nobody but Jesus, and all you need to get Jesus is thank you. And the Bible says this. I love this. I'm almost done. The Bible says this. As they went, they were healed. There's always obedience. In this case, there are some of us that would say, I'm not moving until I see a physical difference. Jesus said, you won't see a physical difference until you start moving. Can I tell you that obedience causes us to do something before we see the abstract move to reality? And when you have faith, faith will cause you to step out and move. And they began to say, did he say for us to go and show ourselves to the priest? Yeah, I think that's what he said. And they about faced and began to go back into the city. And as they went, they looked down and toes that were not there were now there. Can I encourage you that for the next 6 weeks of your life, start walking out the word of God. Start walking out the promise of God. And while you walk it out, you're going to see a difference in everything connected to you. Their vision was getting better. Your vision for 2019 might be cloudy today, but Jesus is talking to you today, and your praise brings Jesus, and Jesus brings a word, and that word is going to bring life and healing. But this is what happens. This is the danger. Is while they are moving towards the priest and they see the difference that is made, they get caught up in their healing and miracle. And they forget about the giver of the miracle. They forget about the great physician. They're so concerned with everything that is happening in them and on them now that they forget about Jesus. Can I tell you, I don't want it if it makes me forget about Jesus. I don't need it if it makes me forget about Jesus. Some of you were praying. You hadn't prayed as hard as you prayed for Mega Millions a few weeks ago. You prayed harder about that than you did about the elections, about your job, about your kids. Oh, Lord, I pray that if I win it, I tithe. And God says, who are you kidding? You're going to give $160 million to Living Way, and you can't give $18 on the $180 I gave you last week? But in some cases, $1.6 billion would crush us. $1.6 billion, because let's be honest, some of us are living the right lifestyle because we don't got enough money to send. All right, well, we'll just move past that. And so the lepers begin to look down. Man, look at you, man. I ain't seen you with two ears in years. Look at you looking so good. And they're going. And then one man realizes, look at what the Lord has done. The Bible says he turned around. And it wasn't some empty, void of sincerity, chunking the deuce to Jesus and saying, thanks. The Bible says he rushed Jesus, fell down on his face, and gave him thanks. Jesus says, where there not 10, where are the other 9? I've preached this before. Jesus knew exactly where the other 9 were. They were where he had sent them. But he wanted the one and the disciples to know it's not where the other 9 are. It's where the one is. This is why I came to Samaria. I came for the praiser. I came for the worshiper. I came for the one who did not forget me in times of good, who did not forget me when things turned around. I came for the praise. That's why in all things I praise God, so that God knows, God, I've never forgot where you brought me from. God, I've never forgot what you've done for me. God, I remember what I was like when you stepped into my life. I'm encouraging every praiser in the house today to stand on your feet and give God a great praise. Let God know that this is not a Thanksgiving praise. Let God know this is not a November praise. Let God know this is not a tip of the hat and I appreciate you. This is a from the bottom of my heart and my spirit. I thank you for all that you've done for me. I thank you for the things I don't know that you've done for me. I thank you for all the times the enemy wanted to take me out, but he didn't take me out. I want to thank you for the times that I couldn't have woken up, but you woke me up anyway. I want to thank you for the times that when I wasn't good to me, you are still good to me. I want to thank you. Praise God. I love this. I love this. One more verse for you. And he said, arise, go thy way. Your faith has made you whole. Your faith. Faith leads to praise. You don't praise if you don't have faith. Faith got him healed. Praise kept him whole. Faith got him healed. Whatever God gets you, praise will keep it. Whatever God gives you this day in this altar, praise is what's going to keep it in your life. I want to encourage somebody that's had a bad doctor's report. I need you to join us in this altar. I need somebody that's having trouble in your family. I need you to join me in this altar. I need somebody who's out of a job and you've been out of a job for a few weeks and you don't know bills are piling up. I need you to meet me in this altar. You say, what are we going to do down there? Are we going to discuss? Are we going to counsel? Are you going to tell me what I did? I'm just going to tell you to praise. Praise is your first step. Praise is your first step. Faith led you to living way today. Now praise Jesus. That's your next step. You're thankful. Thanksgiving is going to bring your breakthrough. Your Thanksgiving is going to bring the wholeness. Those other nine, they were healed, but the tenth leper was whole. God is wanting to bring wholeness into your life. Wholeness. Not halfness, wholeness. Not better than it used to be, wholeness. The enemy is a liar. Somebody in this room today, you have actually said to yourself this week, God, I'm thankful for all that you've done. That one situation, I'm just going to have to live with that. You've been so good in every other. That's a lie from the enemy. You don't have to live with anything. Take the whole word of God. Jesus came to give his life for a totality of his spirit, of his blessing, of his warehouse. For those of you that have joined me in this altar, I want you to, most of you are already doing it, lift your hands. This is your thanksgiving. This is your praise. This is your worship.